This morning, I want to share with you a message that I think is very timely. I think it's very important for a situation right now. Sometimes the Bible seems distant and disconnected from our lives because for some, it was written several thousand years ago, and the stories, the culture, the words seem hard to understand. But this morning, I want to share with you a scripture that I think if you would change just the few names would really fit our current situation very well. If you open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want you to read just this basic introduction and notice how it is really relevant for our current situation. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1 and 2. Look at that with me this morning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiled, scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. This morning, as we join together, I want you to notice what Peter is writing to these believers. Number one, this is a message from God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. And he's writing to individuals who are in exile, who are scattered about. Isn't that the right picture for what we are this morning? Scattered about our city or cities, as we spread out into our homes, as we worship in our own locations. This is a letter that is written to those that were in a situation very similar to where we are right now. I want you to notice what Peter says as he identifies this crowd. Continue on in verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." Peter says to those who are scattered, who are living in difficult times, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." This morning, I want us to claim this promise from God, that God is a gracious, a loving Father. And though it may seem dark, may it seem foggy around us, this morning, grab hold of this. Grace and peace are yours in abundance. The devil will try to trick us into believing that we are far away from God, that he has forgotten us, that we are in a time of uncertainty, and he is unprepared for what is before us. Peter reminds us that that's not true. This is a time in which Scripture reflects dramatically where we are and what is going on. Peter continues on. He says, "Praise be to our God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power, until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Now, I know what Peter was writing, and our situation is a little bit different. The social, the religious, the political persecution that these new believers were under, as opposed to our sequestered, our quarantined moment. But they were challenged, they were fearful, and they were living in a difficult time. We too feel the same way. And Peter reminds them that even though we go through a time of difficulty, of grieving, of trouble, that there will be a time to rejoice, that we can rejoice because we know that God is giving in us this living hope. This is something that is difficult for the world to see. If you were a part of our Wednesday night class, you may remember that Ray Vanderlaan series that we were looking at, in which he was talking about Psalms 23. in which David writes about those pastures, those quiet waters that the Good Shepherd will lead us beside. Ray took us to this hillside in Israel, this rocky, dusty hillside. And as the camera looks at this full range of hills, it looks barren and desolate. There's just a few lines that kind of are scraped across the sides of these hills. And as the camera zooms in, he shares with us that those are the sheep trails where the sheep have walked from generation to generation, maybe going back as far as King David's time. As the camera continues to zoom in a little bit further onto that rocky, dusty hillside, you see these small little boulders as they have collected a little condensation from the night air. And just beside that, in the shadow, a small little weed, a tuft of grass is growing. And as these sheep walk by, they will nibble on that grass and continue on. And he reminds us that what David writes in Psalms 23 is not this beautiful pasture in which we just lay down and there is no trouble. That's what heaven will be like for sure. But in this life, our Good Shepherd leads us along these dusty trails, and he promises that he will provide for us each and every step along the way. And so we continue on in faith, living with this hope that our Father is a good and gracious Father, a good shepherd. I'm reminded of the story of this elderly lady as she was getting well in years, 90s plus years. She was starting to run out of funds for life, and life was becoming more and more difficult. She was searching for some assistance. And lo and behold, a young man, a lawyer, came and saw where she was and the predicament that she was in. And he offered her $500 every month as a living expense, as her own money, if when she passed, she would bequeath her apartment to this man. He was in his mid-40s at the time and saw this as a great opportunity maybe to seize on a wonderful piece of property with a wonderful view. She needed the money, and there it was. An opportunity, maybe also kind of a conniving person taking advantage. But God provided what she needed at just the right time. And as she enters into the mid and late 90s, the money that was given to her each month, that $500, brings a new standard of living, an opportunity for her to be able to enjoy friendship, to get outside and enjoy a little bit of travel and fun. She says later in life that when I die, if I die, I will die laughing. She has such a great hope as God continues to provide for her. God says that He has given us new birth into this living hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to recognize the grace and the peace that is ours abundance, this new and living hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. And then I want to draw our attention to this idea of living godly lives. Living godly lives because what God calls us and what God sees in us is significant. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "As you come to Him, Jesus, this living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." God sees what you're doing in the midst of difficulty as an opportunity to be a glorious sacrifice for His kingdom and for His glory. He later goes on to say in chapter 2, starting in verse 9, that you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's special possession. And I know that there are times in our lives, maybe for many of us watching this morning, right now you would say a special possession. We don't feel special. This doesn't feel like we're getting the extra care that we deserve. Maybe that's how we feel sometimes. Maybe we could put ourselves in the feet of those Israelites as God is creating this new nation, and yet somehow they are enslaved by the Egyptians. They live under that rule for generation and generation, and it doesn't feel like they are a special possession. But as God works His mighty hand, as He releases them from bondage, they are on the front row to see the mighty work of God. And this morning, as we go through what might be considered by many as this dark and difficult time, I want to encourage us that we, too, are on the front row watching to see what God has in store for those that are around us, and as we point towards God. Live godly lives. Notice what He says to these believers in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 13. He says, "Submit yourselves to the Lord, for the Lord's sake, to every human authority." Submit yourself to the authorities. He continues on in verse 17 as he says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as to cover up evil." Verse 17, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor." I want us to live in a way that honors the rules that our government is putting in place, that we live good as good neighbors among our community so that our light can shine. We don't hold our freedom as a badge, as some sort of club that we will push against people, but we will live within the system that God has placed us in, and we will shine bright. I want to encourage us, as he continues on in chapter 3, "Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, submit to your wives." Inside your homes right now, the family that's with you, your spouse, your children, those that may be living with you, is the first opportunity for us to show the love of God, to demonstrate grace and peace to those around us. If God is giving us grace and peace in abundance, then we too will pass that on to those around us. Let us live such good and godly lives, that though we are persecuted, though we are in times of trial, though people might accuse us of all sorts of things, they will in truth know who we are and whose we are. This morning, I want to draw our attention to living good, doing what God has called us to do. As Peter wraps up his letter in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, someone who has forgotten that God is a God of grace and peace and abundance. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little bit, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. Now to him be power forever and ever. Amen." We serve a mighty God. And so in these moments of difficulty and trial, I want to encourage us to live a different way. I want to challenge you this morning to think about your friends and family that are near you, your neighbors that are living in isolation and possibly great fear. I want to encourage you to reach out to them. Let them know that you're not a hoarder, but you are connected to a great network of believers who have resources to share. And if they are in any need, we are ready and willing to help them. I want to encourage you this morning to reach out to your Family Connect member, to give them a call, to write an email, to shoot them a text and connect with them and pray with them, to be with them, to hear their life. Make that a challenge every day to connect with your Family Connect member. I want to challenge you this week to reach out to five of our family, to let them know that you are thinking about them, that you love them, that you care enough to call them. I want you to reach out to another five that maybe you don't know so well. Maybe you've seen them in our worship center. Maybe you've had a relationship, but life has kind of pulled you in different directions. I want you to reach out to five others and let them know that you're thinking about them, that you care, and if there's anything that you can do, you want to be a help in their lives. Finally, I want to invite you Monday through Friday from 8 o'clock at 2 o'clock and then again at 8 o'clock in the evening to join me in a program called Zoom. Email will be coming out first thing Monday morning with links and information for how you can participate. Zoom is an opportunity for you and I to study, to have conversation via your computer. It will be a great opportunity. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." At 8 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, and then again at 8 in the evening. If you have time, join me for a Bible study. Join me for some encouragement. And join me and the others as we continue our relationship, as we hold out a belief that God is a God who is gracious and peaceful, and He brings that in abundance. This lady received $500 a month for her apartment. She was 92 at the time. This young lawyer was about 47 when he made the deal. Many thought he was trying to swindle her out of a great location and apartment. As God blessed her with these new finances, as she found a new vigor and enjoyment of life, she began a virtually new life. And over the next few months, well, really not a year or two, not even three, not 10, not even 20, but for 30 years, this lady lived with a great vitality and zest for life. Story is told that she outlives this lawyer who passes away in his mid-70s. He passes away about a year or so before this elderly lady, who lived to be 122. He pays more than $180,000 for this apartment, nearly twice the going rate of what that apartment should bring. And even in his death, then his family is obligated to continue to pay as she continues to live this new life. I want to remind you that our God is a God who provides, who is gracious and peaceful in abundance. And maybe it doesn't feel like that this morning. Maybe it doesn't feel like that right now. But hold fast. Proclaim His name. Let Him be the King of your life. Let Him calm your fears and hold you steady. And let us watch and see truly how great is our God.